file at police headquarters in an East Coast city. There was an identification card which read,
Name, Lucille Waters. Age, 24 years. Cause of death, poison. Classification, homicide. Investigation, proceeding.
Did justice triumph in this case? You will learn the answer tonight as you hear another thrilling reenactment of a famous true justice case. These real stories of the law pitted against evil and corruption are brought to you every week so that you may comprehend more fully the vast mechanism of justice in the pursuit of its duty toward the public. Though the names and places mentioned in these broadcasts are fictitious, these are real people and real crimes. Based on the famous true justice cases, followed by millions of readers each week in the New York Sunday News and its syndicate. Tonight's case, Anniversary of Death. Lucille Waters, the victim in tonight's true justice case, was the type of woman most people like for a friend. Gay, sincere, fun to talk to and go places with. Easy on the eyes, too. Not rich, but not poor either. Yes, life was good to Lucille Waters, until in the mind of a killer, murder was born. Anniversary of Death begins on the evening of May 20th, when Charles Waters, a tall, husky, middle-aged man, enters the telephone booth of a suburban drugstore.
Hello, dear. How are you?
Charles, I don't care to talk to you in that final.
Oh, I know, but after all, I am your husband, and I've a right
to... You are not going to be my husband much longer. I've seen my lawyer, and I'm getting the divorce. You know that.
Yes, I do, but Lucille, dear, listen to me. Before we can go our separate ways, there are a few things we have to talk about.
I think we've both said everything there is to say, Charles.
Lucille, dear, I want to make some sort of financial settlement on you. That's why I'd like to see you and talk about it tonight.
I can get along perfectly well with what I have.
Of course, but you're entitled to some sort of settlement from me. Can't we discuss it tonight?
I'm afraid not, Charles. I have another one of my beastly headaches coming on. I don't care to see anybody.
Listen to me, Lucille, please.
There's nothing more to talk about. Goodbye, Charles.
Pretty lady.
Charles, what in the world are you doing on my doorstep? I've already told you that I don't want to see you.
Well, look, dear, I've brought you something.
Oh, flowers.
Violets for you to wear tonight. We're going to the movie.
You are persistent. But really, Charles, there's no use. I won't give in about the divorce.
I'm not asking you to. I just want to talk to you about the settlement and then take you to the movie.
But I still have such a terrible headache.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know your headaches are no picnic. Shall I go over to the drugstore and get you some aspirin?
No, I have some prescription tablets in my purse. I'll take some more then.
Oh, yes, I remember. Those always made you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel so hot tonight myself. Today's May 20th, you know.
Well, what does the date have to do with the way you feel?
Oh, it's a combination of things, Lucille. Losing you, for one thing. And then today's the anniversary of my first wife's death. 2 years ago. Then my mother went in May, too. I just got thinking about them today and...
Oh, I'm sorry, Charles. I guess you do need some diversion tonight. Well, give me the violets. Come on in. I'll fix you a little snack of supper.
And then the movies, Lucille?
Very well, Charles. And then the movies.
We shouldn't have walked to the movies. It's too far for you.
Sorry, I insisted. You probably missed the first part of the picture. Oh, I didn't get it.
Oh, your head's still aching?
Yes. Stomach feels funny, too. If the headache tablets haven't taken effect yet.
Well, it's only a few more steps. When we get inside, the picture will take your mind off your troubles.
Yes, I'll be all right.
Look, yes. Lucille, you go on in. I'll get the tickets at the box office and meet you in the lobby.
Oh, all right, Charles.
Two in the orchestra, please.
Oh, I've been cashing 20s all evening. Haven't you got something smaller?
I'm sorry, that's all I have.
Okay, here you are.
Hey, mister, you at the box office.
Yes?
Come in here quick, you lady.
Oh, what's the matter?
Just stepped inside here and bam.
Oh, she fainted. Lucille. Lucille, dear.
That's no faint. She's got convulsions. I know. I've seen them before.
Good heavens. Get a doctor. Call an ambulance. We'll have to get her to a hospital quick. Yes, Doctor. How is she?
Mr. Waters, I hope you can take this. I don't think your wife is going to pull through.
Oh. Oh, no.
That is, unless she talks.
Talks? What do you mean?
She had a lethal dose of poison. I tried every antidote I can think of. She's not responding.
She'd only tell me what she's taking. Well, Doctor, you're wrong. My wife wouldn't try to do away with herself. It must have been something she ate. She probably got ptomaine.
Rubbish. I know ptomaine when I see it, and that's not what's wrong with Mrs. Waters. If I could just get her to tell me what kind of poison she took.
Doctor, she couldn't have taken anything. I've been with her all evening. It's something she ate. I'm sure it is.
Perhaps. But nevertheless, I'm calling the police.
The police?
Naturally. We always call the police on a suicide.
But this...
Even when there's an element of doubt, as there is in this case. We always call the police.
The hours tick by in this real case of a real crime, and still the victim lingers. With each return of consciousness, Lucille Waters tells the police and doctor at a bedside that she did not take anything. Yet they're almost certain she is dying of a deadly poison. Every known antidote for every known poison is administered. Without effect. She rallies and sinks, her baffling symptoms defying medical precedent. It is a hopeless battle against an unknown foe, but the doctor struggles tirelessly to keep her life from ebbing away. For the law seeks certain information from her. They must know if she is taking her own life or if this is murder. They must know that justice may be done. It is now 5 o'clock in the morning. Lucille Waters is rallying for the last time. The doctor and nurse watch anxiously as Captain Burns from homicide once more draws his chair close to the hospital bed.
Mrs. Waters.
I didn't take poison. I want to live.
Mrs. Waters, can you tell me what you did earlier tonight?
Maybe. Charles.
Where did you eat tonight?
At home.
Did your husband help you in the kitchen?
No. Oh.
What was he doing while you got supper?
I don't know. Reading the paper, I guess.
Mrs. Waters, you've been poisoned. Now, we're trying to help you. You must think. Remember everything you ate or drank tonight.
Yes.
Are you sure you didn't put anything in your mouth? After you ate supper.
Oh, headache pills. My headache pills.
Who gave them to you? Who gave them to you?
Nobody. I had them in a box. Doctor, the pulse is only 48.
Better hurry it up, Captain.
Right. Mrs. Waters, where are those pills now?
No more. I'm glad you can't get a prescription. They failed.
Is there anyone who would want to kill you?
No. I don't want to die. I want a
doctor, he's gone.
Captain,
all the questioning you're going to do as far as she's concerned?
Yes. You're sure she didn't die from natural causes, aren't you?
I am. But I could be wrong.
Natural causes. Suicide or homicide. I want to know which one beyond a shadow of a doubt. Maybe the coroner can tell me why an apparently healthy young lady, after eating a supper she prepared herself and taking her own headache tablets by her own hand, should die. Or maybe her husband can. Nice of the Captain Burns to bring me in for a bite to eat.
Well, Mr. Waters, I thought it might buck you up. I've got a pretty good idea how you must be feeling. Have another cup of coffee?
Not right now, thanks.
Mr. Waters, was your wife subject to repeated headaches?
Yes.
Poor girl, she suffered terribly from them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about those headache pills she was taking? You know what was in them?
No, I don't. They were a prescription the doctor gave her.
Well, outside of the food she ate for supper and those headache tablets, she didn't take anything else in her stomach all evening. At least that's what she told us just before she died.
Well, that's true. I was with her all evening. That's all she had.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting a report on that prescription. In the meantime, I'd like your help, Mr. Waters. Now, you must know why your wife committed suicide, don't you?
It wasn't suicide. That's what the doctor at the hospital kept saying. But I'm sure Lucille died of ptomaine, and I'm sure of it. She wouldn't take her own life.
Pretty fond of your wife, huh?
Yes. She was a wonderful girl, but... Captain, I might as well make a clean breast of this. You'll find it out for yourselves, and then it'll look bad for me.
What are you driving at, Waters?
Well, Lucille and I were separated. We were going to get a divorce.
Oh. Well, thanks for telling me. That information could support my suicide theory. Maybe your wife was depressed over marital affairs.
I still say you're wrong.
Well, I can't dig very deep into the causes for possible suicide until the autopsy report comes in.
Autopsy? On Lucille.
Well, that's routine in a case like this.
I don't like to think of that happening to her.
Well, I'm sorry. Mr. Waters, your face looks vaguely familiar to me. Have you ever been down at headquarters? You ever been under arrest?
Yes, I have been.
When?
9 years ago.
I see.
Oh, Captain Burns, there's a telephone call for you.
Oh, thank you. I'll be right back, Waters.
Hey, waitress, you can bring me some more coffee.
Oh, yes, sir.
Captain Burns, please.
This is Johnson, Captain.
Oh, yes, Sergeant. What have you found out?
Well, I did just what you told me. Got samples of the food and drugs from the Waters house and took them all to the lab. They're working on them now.
Ah, good. Did you check Lucille Waters' headache tablet prescription?
Yes, I talked to the pharmacist who's been filling it. It was nothing but an aspirin compound.
Well, that's no help. Johnson, I'm going to keep working on this guy, Waters. In the meantime, I want you to look him up in the file. Charles Waters. He admits he has a record. Find out what we hauled him in for. I'll see you later at headquarters.
Yes, sir.
Oh, one thing more. Build a fire under those guys in the lab and tell the coroner to speed up his report. I want to know immediately what killed Lucille Waters.
Hey, Captain, you back so soon? I thought you'd be tied up with Waters a couple of hours.
No, I couldn't get any more information out of him, so I let him go home. Now, what's been happening in the office here?
Well, the lad completed the analysis of the food and drugs that I got from the Waters house. They report there's not a trace of poison in anything.
Clean, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that lets out the possibility of ptomaine. Now, how about the coroner's report?
Well, he hasn't called in yet. But I have the record card you wanted on Charles Waters.
Good. Let's see it. Charles Waters arrested May 20th, 1925. Held up trolley car, shot and wounded. Mortarman confessed, sentenced to 9 years in state penitentiary.
Yeah, looks bad for the guy. Anyone who could shoot could poison. But that isn't what's so peculiar, Captain.
Well, what do you mean?
Look at the date the crime was committed. May 20th. And yesterday was May 20th. And what happens? His wife gets a dose of poison and dies.
Coincidence, Johnson. Besides, we're not sure about the poison part yet.
Yeah, but listen to this one. Died, Mrs. Bertha Waters, May 20th, 1936. Cause of death unknown. Beneficiary, Charles Waters.
What was the relationship?
She was his wife.
That's so. Married before. Well, he didn't tell me about that. He seemed on the level about everything else, though.
And here's another card from his mother.
Let me have it. Mrs. Mary Waters died May 20th, 1934. Cause of death unknown. Beneficiary, Charles Waters.
You see what I mean about the dates? They all happened on May 20th.
Yeah. Four times is an awful lot of coincidence, if you ask me. Deaths of three of Waters' kin and a violent crime for which he was sent up. All taking place in the same date over a period of a year.
Captain Burns.
Oh, yes, Connor. Come in.
I have the autopsy report on Lucille Waters.
Good. Let's have it.
She died of strychnine poisoning.
Oh.
I found enough of it in her stomach to have killed six people.
What? But, Connor, doesn't strychnine poisoning usually show up within 15 minutes or so?
As a rule, yes. The victim reacts with convulsions very shortly after the poison is taken into the system.
Well, there's a discrepancy here somewhere, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
We know Lucille Waters took nothing into her stomach for nearly 3 hours before she was stricken.
Yeah, and she lived about 12 hours after the first convulsion.
Well, that's peculiar. Strychnine usually kills within 2-3 hours.
Well, then why didn't it kill her sooner than it did?
Well, it probably would have if it hadn't been for the antidotes given her.
Then why didn't the antidote save her?
Well, probably because she wasn't treated soon enough. And there wasn't enough antidote for the amount of strychnine.
Yeah, I can see that. But how could you account for the length of time it took the poison to react in this case?
I can't answer that, Burns.
Yeah. Now, let me see what we've got now. We know Lucille Waters didn't die of natural causes. And I don't believe she committed suicide.
That leaves only murder, Captain.
Yeah. It leaves only murder. And it means we've run into a very clever killer. Well, since Charles Waters is our number one suspect, let's get to work and see what motives Charles Waters might have for killing her.
The wheels of justice are turning faster now, and the police doggedly accumulate every shred of available evidence against Charles Waters. His wife's will reveals Charles as beneficiary, and a possible motive for the crime is established. An autopsy is ordered performed on the remains of the first wife, a procedure that will take some time. Meanwhile, concealing all knowledge from their suspect, the police bring Charles Waters to headquarters. Under the cross-questioning, he changes from the smooth-spoken, grief-stricken husband and reveals his true self, vicious, taunting, cruel.
Waters, the evidence is against you. You may as well come clean with us.
Come clean about what?
Admit you murdered your wife, Lucille.
Prove it.
You murdered her for her money. You knew she was going to divorce you, and then you'd be out of the picture. So you killed her.
Prove it.
You switched bills on her. Gave her poison instead of headache tablets. Didn't you? Didn't you?
Prove it.
Did you kill your first wife the same way? Did you kill your mother that way, too? They all died on the same date over a period of years. May 20th seems to have been the anniversary of death.
So what? What if they did all die on May 20th? That doesn't mean a thing. You'll have to prove something, Copper. Get the proof.
Ah, he's got us, Johnson. We know he's guilty, and he knows we know he's guilty. We can't let that killer get away with it.
Well, I've got every seller of strychnine in the county lined up, Captain. Maybe we'll be able to hook him this way. Now, one of these men may have been the one who sold him the strychnine.
Right. Send the men in one at a time.
Okay, gentlemen, if you'll come this way, file in one at a time.
Now, I'd like each of you to take a good look at this man sitting in here. Tell me if you've ever seen him before. All right, you, how about it, sir?
I don't know him.
Very well. Did you ever see this man before?
No, sir, Captain.
Ever see this fella?
No.
Ever see him?
Nope.
Ever see?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. You're licked, Captain. If there's one thing I learned up at the big house, it's this. You have to have proof to send a guy up.
I've got a plan, Johnson. I'm going to take Waters over to the morgue to view the body.
The chief isn't going to like that.
Well, I'm not going to get rough with him. I'm just going to use a little psychology on him. Now, he doesn't know about our recent findings. And if I tell him about it in the office here, it may lose its impact.
How do you mean, Captain?
Well, if I hold that information until we get down in the morgue, and if I can establish the right mood, he may break.
Yeah, a little psychology might work.
Well, I want you and one of the boys to hide yourselves in the morgue before we get there. If he talks, take down every word he says.
Why did you bring me here to the morgue? I don't like it.
Now, just relax, Waters.
Relax? In a morgue?
Yeah. I suppose it might be difficult for you. We members of the police force get kind of hard into it. You see so much of suicide and homicide.
What's this under the sheet on the slab? A body?
Of course.
I'm moving farther away. I don't like to be so close to a corpse.
Stay where you are. You aren't afraid of a corpse. Tough guy like you.
What did you bring me down here for, anyway?
Waters, I have something interesting to tell you. Something I thought you might like to hear.
You're still trying to pin Lucille's death on me, aren't you, Copper?
Who said anything about Lucille? You're jumping to conclusions, man.
Well, you've been at me for so long about it.
What I have to tell you has nothing to do with Lucille at all.
No?
No. It has to do with your first wife. Bertha.
Bertha? What about Bertha?
We performed an autopsy on her remains.
You couldn't have. She's been dead too long.
Oh, no. And the coroner's report was very interesting. She died of strychnine poisoning.
Strychnine?
Yes.
So what?
It just means that the evidence is piling up against you. Your wife Bertha died of strychnine, and your wife Lucille died of strychnine, too. Now, I'm going to show you.
But don't let that sheet.
It's only your wife, Lucille. Come on, Waters, take a look at her. Here, I'll uncover her.
Oh. Yes, I see her.
She doesn't look much like herself, does she? Face all twisted in agony. Not much like the pretty girl she was before you killed her.
I didn't kill her.
Yes, you did, Waters.
No.
All right. Now on the table right next to Lucille, we have the remains of your former wife, Bertha.
No, don't lift that sheet. I can't look at
you
her.
You killed her. You killed them both, Waters. Lucille and Bertha and your mother. Own up to it.
No, I didn't.
Very well, then. I'll just remove this other sheet.
But don't lift that sheet.
Own up, Waters. You killed your mother, your first wife, Bertha, and your second wife, Lucille. Why don't you tell the truth? What do you say, Waters?
No, I didn't. I didn't do it.
All right, then you're going to have to.
Don't
forget
uncover, Bertha. Don't, please. I.
Yes, Waters.
I did it. I killed them.
Both Lucille and Bertha?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear it from the beginning. How did you kill Lucille?
I switched pills on her. She thought she was taking her headache tablets. I switched them for the strychnine pills while she was in the kitchen.
Where did you get strychnine pills?
I'd had them a long time. Stolen from a doctor's office. Years ago.
Why did they take so long to act?
They had an extra heavy coating on. Took hours for that coating to dissolve. That's why nobody ever guesses it's strychnine. Doesn't act like strychnine usually does. I experimented with them. Tried them on dogs, horses. When I was sure how they worked, I used them on people.
You killed for money, wasn't it?
No. It wasn't the money.
Well, you were the sole beneficiary in each case.
But you don't know what happens to me. Every year, on May 20th, I have to kill. I have to. I can't help it.
You wouldn't be fixing yourself an insanity plea, would you?
You'll find out.
I think so. Oh, by the way, it's not Bertha under this sheet. It's only a wax dummy.
You tricked me. I deny everything I said. I deny it.
It's too late, Waters. From now on, what happens to you is up to the courts of law.
Justice moves swiftly in the case of the People versus Charles Waters. A tentative plea of insanity is entered and shattered by the law. For doctors and state criminologists alike testified that Charles Waters was well aware of the consequences of his act. No one but Charles Waters himself knows why he always chose May 20th as the anniversary of death. But whatever his reason, justice decreed that he pay for his crime. Right now, he's behind the bars of a state penitentiary, where he will spend the rest of his days, never again to walk as a free man. And so it is that the death card bearing the name Lucille Waters has been removed to the inactive file at police headquarters and marked case closed.
Justice has triumphed.
Plan to be with us again next Wednesday night at the same time for another famous true murder story entitled Murder Under the Hat. Another dramatization of one of the Did Justice Triumph cases, published each week in the New York Sunday News and its syndicate. The names of all persons, characters, and places on this program are entirely fictitious, and any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. These programs are produced and directed by Jock McGregor and are dramatized by Bart Conroy. The narrator was George Carson Putnam. The orchestra, under the direction of Emerson Buckley, played music especially written for this program by Richard DuPage. This is Carl Caruso speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.